Welcome to the Servant Leadership Institute podcast. Today's conversation features Art Barter, CEO of Datron World Communications and founder and CEO of SLI. Listen in as Art discusses employees who appear to be on board with servant leadership, but in reality may be working against this culture. Employees we call the little foxes. Well, our guest this afternoon is Art Barter.
Hey, how are we doing?
We're doing
good
well.
Good to be here with you, Carol.
Yep. Nice to see you again.
Doing well. Yep, thank you.
And today we're going to be talking about one of your favorite subjects, and that is something we call the little foxes.
Yes, it's my favorite subject of servant leadership, little foxes. Yep.
So why don't you start out, Art, by telling us what the heck you mean by the little foxes?
So I'm going to start with a story.
Okay.
I had a home in Escondido that we fenced in the entire property.
Uh-huh.
Because we were out in the hills, and you know, I don't like little crawly things, and we wanted to keep all those things out of our yards. And we put up the fence completely around the property, and then we put mesh 18 inches into the ground,
mm-hmm.
and 18 inches up on the fence to keep all that little stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
We've only had one animal that's breached that fence, and that animal was a fox.
Interesting.
And the first time Lori saw him, my wife, she saw him one night wandering the backyard getting a drink out of the pool. And of course, as a good husband, I woke up the next morning and said, no, impossible. You did not see a fox. And she said, yes, we did. And, or yes, she did. And then probably about 6 or 8 months later, I'm working in the backyard, and here comes a fox wandering across the backyard to get some water out of our pool in summertime.
Wow. Now, this was in the evening also? Or?
This was in the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
So it was light out.
Yeah.
And I, of course, I had to go in and tell Laura. I said, I think you did see a fox. but then we started looking about around the surrounding of the fence. And if you've seen a fox is a very beautiful animal. It's got beautiful markings, usually a white tip on the tail, a little bit of white on its forehead or its head.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is all one color, but they're very beautiful animals and very smooth. And so we started looking around the fence, and we found one area of this mesh around a gate that he had gotten through. And what amazed me the most about the little fox was when I went to chase him away, he didn't scamper off to go find an opening in the fence. He went right back to where he came in. He knew exactly where he had come in through the fence. He went right back to that hole and zipped out of the yard. And I sat down and thought about that. I went, he knew exactly where he came in. He didn't scamper. He didn't panic.
Yeah.
He just went back to where he came from and walked away from the yard. And I thought, that's exactly what we describe as a little fox. They're very cagey. They look like they're part of the organization. They act like they're part of the organization. But when pressure comes, they go back through the hole they came into, and they disappear,
mm.
and they go off and live their life. And when you think about it, you have employees that and leaders. And today, I'm going to talk about little foxes with leaders, primarily leaders, is where we're going to focus. And when you have a little fox as a leader, you can have someone who says they're on board with the culture change you're trying to make. They're on board with their values. They're on board with how we want to do things. And they'll talk in meetings as if they're on board. They'll take notes. And then they'll come back in a couple of weeks, and they won't have their task done.
Hmm.
And they wouldn't have told anyone, and they wouldn't have talked to anyone. And they just, I just didn't meet my... And you come back again, and they didn't do it again. And then you start to see this pattern continue. And it's folks that say one thing and do another.
Right.
Is really what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
And most of the time, people will do things when they're off by themselves, when they're outside of meetings or outside of the group. That's really when your character shows, is when you're by yourself working on the things that you've committed to. That's when the real you comes out. And so little foxes, they will look like they're on board with the company.
Mm-hmm.
They'll look like they want to be part of the team. And yet, behind the scenes, they're actually doing things that actually hurt the team or keep the team from being successful.
Right.
And some of the little foxes, they don't know they're little foxes. they don't know it.
Oh, now that's interesting.
And others, they absolutely do know that they're little foxes.
Yeah.
And then there's always in between there. But you could have someone who's been working in a large company that had an experience that, and they brought that experience into a new company, mm-hmm. and they're gonna, that's how they're gonna react to things. And they may not understand that that's how they're reacting. And so part of our job as a leader is to help them understand how their actions are reflecting as someone who's not on the team. And little foxes is just a great phrase that we use. And they're beautiful animals. And they want to be part of the team, but they're very sly in what they do.
I can certainly see somebody coming into the organization that maybe it was a matter of fact in another organization they worked in to basically get the message from their leader.
Mm-hmm.
But then sort of undermine it through what they say to their peers.
Right.
And even what might show to their direct reports.
Exactly.
And them not even realizing that mm-hmm. that's what they're doing, because it's become such a pattern.
Yeah, it's part of what they do. And it's become, a lot of leaders have learned how to survive over the years.
Yeah.
In tough times and so they learn how to survive, and they keep those survival habits close to them. And when they feel like they're being threatened, they'll launch into the survival mode mm-hmm. very, very mm-hmm. easily. And we all do that. I do it. I bring my experiences that I've had prior to being a servant leader. And, you know, they will come out when I'm under pressure and when things aren't going the way I'd like them to go. I have, my danger is going back into my old habits.
Yeah.
And as long as I can recognize old habits when I do it, and I say, listen, I have this weakness. I'm not a little fox. But if I let it happen and don't do anything about it,
right?
Well, now I'm in that category where I really don't care about the success of the team, because this is where I feel comfortable over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you have a leader like that, they are bound to influence the people that work for them,
mm-hmm.
which is bound to have an effect on the people around them that may not report to them. But it seems to me that attitudes, negative attitudes, for example, would just spread like, could spread like wildfire in
they
that
could.
Kind of situation.
Yeah, if I take the attitude as a CEO that I'm not going to do what I've agreed to do for the team.
Right.
If I don't do those by the due date.
Yeah.
And I continually do that, what's my team going to think?
Oh, well, yeah.
The due dates don't mean anything.
Right.
So we'll get around to it when we get around to it. If I don't explain why I don't want to make a decision today and I want to put it off for a week or two, I have to explain and communicate
mm-hmm.
with people on why I'm doing that. So... Yeah, it's really our actions and how what we do, and our people are going to see that.
Yeah.
And it falls into a couple, what we do or what we don't do, what we say and what we don't say, and usually how the leader goes, so goes the organization.
Right.
And so whether your team, a department, a small project group, it does, you know, that team is not going to perform because the leader has said, this stuff isn't important to me. It isn't important for me to perform and serve and get results.
So as a CEO then, what are some of the things that you can do to sort of set up an environment so that you don't have these little fox kind of behaviors mm-hmm. repeating themselves?
When you are part of an organization, you either come into it new or you've been a part of it and become a CEO or a leader of a group,
mm-hmm.
you really have to lead by example. But before you can do that, you have to set down the expectations.
Yes.
Right? We say goals, roles, and processes in our organization. But as CEO for me, I have to set the tone for the culture. And so I need to define the type of culture I want. How do I do that? What's my mission and purpose statement? What's my vision statement? What are the values that we're going to operate under? And we have to agree to what those are, and then we have to live by them. And by living by them, I mean it starts with me mm-hmm. as a CEO. I have to live by them. And if I don't live by them, then everybody gets a free pass when it comes to values and your mission, your purpose. And one of the things I've learned over the last 12-14 years is I constantly have to talk about our mission, our purpose, constantly.
Yeah.
Constantly talk about values so that people can understand them. And then I have to live by them. And along with that, I'm not perfect.
Right.
And so we're going to have situations where my staff and employees are going to have to extend some grace to me because I'm not perfect. And that's okay as long as you recognize that you slipped up.
Yeah.
And you said, hey, I'm going to do better and get better. But you have to set those expectations. And as a leader, mission, purpose, values, those are all things that you have to let people know this is what we're serious about. And this is how we're going to conduct ourselves as a company. Once you've done that, now you need to train people. What does it mean? What does honesty and integrity mean in your organization?
Right.
What does it mean for us to honor and serve each other?
Uh-huh.
What does it mean for us to put our families first? And then, you know, we added one at the end of our list of values is we don't compromise our core values. We don't compromise. And people have to understand what that means. And so you have to do some training and some talking and answering questions and going through all that so people understand what you expect and how the organization's going to operate. And then now you can hold people accountable to what you do as an organization. But you have to define it first, then you have to train in it, and then you can hold people accountable. And you have to start with yourself first, hold yourself accountable before you hold your team accountable.
Yeah. You know, as I'm listening to you, Art, something came, you know, into my mind, was very clear to me that you're very serious about this issue of communicating values, mission, and purpose to your team. And I think that this is something that sets apart a servant-led organization. Is that you talk about those things, you set the expectation, and it goes from your level to your leadership team's level.
Mm-hmm.
And then the expectation is that they are turning around and filtering that information to the people that report to them.
Absolutely right.
So you may talk about it in a monthly celebration or, you know, an all-hands meeting, but it's really up to your team to turn around and make sure they pass it on and so on down the line,
right,
as it were.
If I take the position as CEO and I teach people the mission, purpose, and values and I focus on the leadership team, and then when something doesn't go right in their organization, if I go around them and go talk to that individual without their permission or without them knowing, what am I telling that leader?
Well, you don't care.
I don't care about how they feel.
Yeah,
I'm going to go around them and take care of it.
Right.
So my time to invest in people, to invest in leaders, is to let them be accountable, to communicate the same things I've communicated to them, to communicate to the rest of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are times where I will flat out tell my management team, don't expect an announcement from me on this. Don't expect that all, you know, employees get an email or a memo.
Yeah.
I expect you to communicate this to your team. And you'll soon find out who the strong leaders are, the ones that actually take time to invest and communicate, and the ones that aren't comfortable in that environment in investing and communicating with people, because it does require an investment.
Oh, definitely.
It really does.
Definitely.
Yeah. So when you invest in people, it can come in a lot of different forms, training, money, but time. Time is probably the best thing you can use to invest in people, is your time.
Yeah. So all of those factors, and there's one more that I'm thinking of that I know you feel is absolutely key as far as communicating expectations, is our servant leadership behaviors.
Yes, correct.
And establishing those with our employees so that they understand that, you know, these are the rules of engagement. This is what we're striving for.
That's right. You know, it's fun to work with organizations, and we've done this in our organizations where we look at what our values are, and then we look at the behaviors that we want to be as leaders, and for us, we call them servant leadership behaviors, to sit down and survey the leadership team and have the leadership team do a 360 on everyone in the group, so that if you have 15 leaders, you get 15 surveys of how you perform in your values and how you perform in your behaviors, servant leadership behaviors. And that's a very, very powerful tool because you're going to get feedback from your peers. And then the question is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to put it in the drawer or are you going to respond? Yeah. And for us, we always like to respond to people and say, this is what I've received from you. Here's what I'm going to do in the next year to improve upon those areas that I was rated the least, the lowest in, excuse me. So yeah, we're serious. We're serious about that.
It also seems like that might be a way in that discussion of those assessments, that could possibly be a way to find out if someone isn't really on board with what's going on.
It is a way to find out if a leader isn't invested, or my favorite is you get a survey from somebody and you're perfect in everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I could have put an X at the top and put a line down it and put an X at the bottom and said, hey, I'm done with your survey, Carol. Here you go.
Yeah.
And I'd look at it and go, I'm not perfect in everything. I know that for a fact. I'm not perfect. So can you take some time and really tell me how you feel? Mm-hmm. And there are people who won't be able to do that because they're afraid of that relationship or afraid about giving, I wouldn't say bad news, but negative news to people. It's easier to say, hey, you're really good there. You don't need to improve. And when they leave and they're talking about you, at home, they're going, man, I had the opportunity to talk about Art that day about listening, and I told him he was great. So do you think I'm going to change?
Yeah,
no,
right.
No, I'm not, because I don't have the feedback that I need to be able to change my behavior. Yeah,
it takes those, courageous, as we like to call them, courageous conversations, I think, to point those things out. And a courageous conversation, when you do find out that you have a little fox in the organization, what does that look like for you to try and deal with some of those? And I'm gonna, as we go along, I'd like you to give us, a specific. Tell us another story.
There's all kinds of little foxes in leadership. And in servant leadership, we like to encourage the leaders to give their power away, right?
Mm-hmm.
With accountability, but give their power away. And what we've seen in different transformation scenarios is, leaders who always want to go to the meetings with their team, they have to be there. If you're going to have a meeting, you need to invite me. And that leader is going to make all the decisions, right? And then we encourage the leader, let go a little bit. Okay, well, my team can go to the meetings, but, oh, by the way, send me an email afterwards of the decisions that were made or the questions were, so I can stay up to speed with that.
Yeah.
And then whatever you do, I just copy me on it so I can stay up to speed on things. Maybe it wasn't a decision, but who said what to whom and who didn't like what was going on and who was against the proposal. And as you dig into it, you find a leader that's really a control person who wants to control everything, wants to let his team go to the meeting, but, oh, by the way, before you decide on anything, you need to come talk to me so we can decide on it together. Mm-hmm. So that's a leader that's kind of pretending to be a leader and pretending to empower, but really is controlling things behind the scenes. And the risk to that is the team around that team that's doing that, the rest of the organization, will soon find out that whatever you say, Carol, in that meeting and make decisions, guess what? That decision doesn't mean anything because you have to go talk to your boss about it.
Yeah.
No matter how big or how small that decision is, you got to go talk to your boss. And so I see leaders who don't want to give their control away.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to remind everybody, I was the best at being a control type leader. I was a control freak. All right. Now, this is an area I'm an expert in.
Yeah.
And when you give that control away, it doesn't feel real good.
It's scary.
It's scary. And so when you let people go make decisions, and you've got to stand back and let them implement those decisions. Now, you can mentor, but you have to do it in a way that's adding value, not controlling.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So leaders sometimes will change their behaviors for a short term, and then they'll work back into it. And in this day in the U.S. and in companies around us, we're so used to implementing the latest and greatest fad. Everybody has the latest and greatest management fad or quality fad or manufacturing fad, that our people around us have gotten to the point where they're just going to wait and see if we're serious about it. And if leaders sit and say the word, we're going to try servant leadership this year and see if it works, how do you take that as a leader in an organization that the CEO says, we're going to try this to see if it works?
Well, it certainly doesn't give me the idea that he's committed to it.
I mean,
it's like, okay, we're going to try this. It's like when I decide to go on a diet.
Yeah, great.
And I'm going to eat grapefruit for 30 days, and see how it's going to go.
Right.
I mean, that isn't commitment.
Yeah. Let me try something. This for a couple of weeks and see if I lose weight. And if I don't, I'm going to go on to the next one.
Right.
And,
I'm going to say forget it entirely and don't bother with the diet.
I remember when I started at Daytron in 1997.
Yeah.
They were just finishing up a quality system that everyone, I looked at it and I said, hey, this is great. Do you remember, what was the name of that, Carol? Do you remember?
The Conway Method.
Conway Method.
Yes.
Right? And this isn't anything positive or negative about Conway, but the attitude in the leadership team was, we started this last year. We change this every year, so we're just going to hang out and wait for leaders to change their mind.
Right.
And then we don't have to do anything. And I went, well, that's interesting. So we're really not committed to it, and the people know it. The people know that you're not committed, so they're just going to hang back. That's being committed is an important part.
Which
of this,
they did, because nobody had any plans beyond, we're going to have this education in the method, but nobody bothered to invest in any plans to actually roll it out.
Actually roll it out and implement it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. We learn about it, but we don't implement it.
So I know you heard when you came along and said, we're going to be a servant-led organization, there were people in the team that went, no, okay.
Right.
Sure, we are. Is it going to be like Conway was?
Yeah, and they've been used to the organization acting in one way for so long, right? And I think before I became the general manager, I think I had four presidents over a 6-year time frame, maybe 7-year time frame from 97 to 2004. And I had like four presidents, so we had a revolving door at the general manager level that people went, well, here comes a new guy, so let's go see what he's gonna say after 90 days of evaluating us. And we know that the corporate guy is going to come down and fire him in 12 months. So why do I need to bust my tail? Because things are going to change all the time.
Yeah.
And when that happens, people follow it.
Right.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important to put here's what I expect. Here's how we're going to conduct business. Here's the values that are important to us. Train people, invest in them, and then you can hold them accountable to that and really affect change.
Yeah. And I think the other thing this points out, Art, is that when we talk about little foxes, you really have to determine, what is the particular situation with that individual? I mean, is this a hardcore little fox that's purposely doing things to impede progress and to undermine what's going on? Or is this an employee that has simply been under less than great leadership?
Mm-hmm.
And so they have certain attitudes because of that.
Because of it, right. And so those are the unconscious little foxes.
Yeah.
Excuse me. The unconscious little foxes that we're talking about.
Right.
They've lived in the environment for so long that they don't know any other way to act. And until you help them change that, you can't call them a little fox. They're doing it unintentionally, and so now you have an audience. You have individuals you can invest your time with, and they're willing to change and learn. But the ones that know that they're doing it and they don't want to help anybody. They don't want to help the organization. They want to collect their paycheck and go home. And it's okay to have a job. And I'm not downplaying that. It's okay to have a job. People don't have to be the go-getters across the board. That's okay. Except when engagement around the U.S. now is that it's all-time low at around
30%. Right.
30% of our workforce is engaged. Do you think that's coming from lousy leadership? Yeah, it is. And so you've got 70% of unintentional little foxes.
Right.
And probably 10% of intentional foxes.
Yeah.
There's some mix in there that you can teach people new things, you can be serious about things, hold yourself accountable, and change the culture. And then you'll get down to the core folks that you've given them three or four chances or five chances to change. They just refuse to do it. And then you help them and serve them by helping them find an organization that will accept them as they are.
Yeah.
Right?
So you really, it's a matter of evaluating, I think, on the leader's part. That's what I'm hearing you say. What type of individual do you have here? Somebody that's unintentional in what they're doing, and in that case, they maybe need to be mentored,
mm-hmm.
or you spend a little more time with them, versus the person that just flat out, you know, is there to undermine you. And then sometimes it's share them with the competition.
Share them with the competition. You know, a leader who comes to me and wants to let someone go,
mm-hmm.
lousy performer, they're not doing their job. They have a lousy attitude, can't get to work on time, you know, takes long lunches, etc. And I start asking questions. Are there clear expectations?
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you met with the individual and talked about performance? Have you mentored them on the performance? Have you done anything formally to help address the issues if they haven't been corrected? How much time have you invested in that individual? And a leader who comes back and says, I haven't done anything. I just want to get rid of them. You probably have a little fox leader right there.
Ooh,
right?
Yeah.
Because he just wants to get rid of people. I should say he or she wants to get rid of people who get in their way, who aren't part of their team, who don't do what we tell them to do. Instead of investing time to help develop, to show that we care, to show that we want to serve them and help them, give them the tools they need, invest in them in time, it's easier to, let's just fire them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
the
just
easy way out.
It frustrates the heck out of me to bring someone new in the organization, invest time to interview them, especially at the leader level,
mm-hmm.
and 3 months later or 4 months later, their direct leader wants to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. We saw something this person really liked. Why aren't we willing to invest time and money in that person to develop them as a leader? Why do we think after 4 months that they're not worth it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, their turnover rate in an organization can be a great sign of a little fox leader.
Yeah.
Or someone that does their annual reviews. You know, we do all our reviews at one time in our company, which I think works out pretty good, but I have my challenges with that as a leader.
Yeah.
I have to sit down and do a bunch of reviews.
Right.
But if we've invested time in people and talked to people about their performance, then the actual review at the end of the year, it's no big deal. But those leaders that complain about it because they have to sit down and do things, usually are the ones that are going to have people are going to complain and say, hey, this review is not right. I've actually performed at this level, and my leader thinks I've performed at this level. I haven't seen my leader in my department for the last 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
How does he know that I'm doing my job? How does he know my performance?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that shows a little signs of a little fox leader. Have they invested the right time in their people to really help them succeed? Or is it just you do what I tell you to do or you're gone?
Right.
And, you know, that's the old leadership method, that control power leadership that I was really good at.
Yeah. Yep. So as we close today's conversation, is there any stories you can share with us about a little fox that you were able to identify but help turn around, basically?
You know, I get notes from leaders that have worked at Datron, who we invested anywhere from, I would say, 6 months to 2 years invested in them to try and develop them as leaders.
Mm.
And they never really felt comfortable in the servant leadership environment.
Mm-hmm.
They had either been trained too long in the power leadership control. They had some things that they just couldn't get past. And when we asked them to leave, you know, it's not easy. It's We're uprooting someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of leaders send me a note 6 to 12 months later thanking me. He said, Art, I want to thank you, for number one, for letting me go. Number two, thank you for investing time in me to helping me change.
Mm.
And I just wanted to let you know I get it. And I've started to change who I am as a leader. So the effort sometimes doesn't seem like it's going the way you want it to. But if you plant the seed and invest in people, they may come around a little bit down the road.
Right.
And those are the stories I love. I get to see a lot of stories in my organization and successes. But the folks that didn't want to latch on to it, that's okay. We always say, if servant leadership isn't for you, that's okay. It doesn't make you a bad person. It just makes you someone different
mm-hmm.
than who we are. Let us help you find a place where you can be successful. When we do that, we find out that, hey, they've been successful at a higher level than they were before, and they start to realize that it came from what we helped them learn about themselves.
Yeah.
And about servant leadership.
So sometimes the happy ending is a little farther down the road.
It is.
Than you might think.
Yeah. And those, I love seeing those. And then there's folks that, you know, when we started a servant leadership journey, there were a handful of leaders. I said, there's no way they're going to make this journey. There's no way they're going to make this journey. And guess what? They're still with us today.
Yeah.
They made the journey. And I would encourage folks that are listening, invest in your leaders. And don't get tired of investing with your leaders. The little foxes can be your best performers if you invest and help them learn about themselves and help them learn about the organization and change and do something different. So little foxes isn't bad, but you will find people who aren't willing to make that journey. And then you need to make a decision, because if you keep them on too long, it's going to impact your organization, and it's going to take you longer to fix what they did to your organization
mm-hmm.
than it did to invest in while they were here. And so we invested in one leader for 2 years, and we finally made the decision, we can't do this any longer. We found out after that leader was left, we had a big trust issue because that person was a power leader, and it took us over 2 years to build the trust back up to where we thought it should be, you know, because it had been damaged so much. So servant leaders need to make tough decisions.
Yeah.
And when you've invested enough time in folks and you're not seeing enough change, that's when you want to make those decisions and help them. And I really stress that. Help them find a place where they'll be happy, because they're not going to be happy in your organization. So don't let your role as a servant leader stop because you've decided that they no longer belong in your organization. Help them find a place that they'll be happy in and continue that process, and you'll get some rewards from that that you never thought would ever get as a leader. So seeing a little fox turn around can be one of the most rewarding things for a leader to see in its organization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I can't think of a better conclusion to our conversation today. Thanks for spending time with us.
Great. Good to be back. I've kind of been away for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And so I want to thank everybody for the prayers, and some people know, but my wife Lori went through a spinal surgery and got some discs fused. So I have been practicing servant leadership at home. And I was on the phone with a couple leaders today, and they asked, how's the servant leadership going at home, Art? And I said, well, I'm serving in ways that I hadn't served in for a while. And it's actually been fun in a weird kind of way.
Yeah.
And it's actually been fun. And so thank you, everybody, for the thoughts and prayers. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Art.
Great time with you today, Carol. Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
bye. Take care, everyone.
We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we encourage you to tune in to our other podcasts as we hear from people who are actively involved in the business of creating healthy workplaces grounded in servant leadership. We invite you to join us in person for our next Servant Leadership Experience on October 14, 2016 at Concordia University in Irvine, California, where we will present Servant Leadership at the Speed of Trust, a half-day event with servant leadership implementer Art Barter and Stephen M.R. Covey, trust expert and author of The Speed of Trust. For more information about the event or the Servant Leadership Institute, see our website at www.servantleadershipinstitute.com or email us at info@servantleadershipinstitute.com. Thanks for listening and allowing us to add value to your day.